The Canes go marching two by two. The little one stops to tie his shoe, and they all go marching down through the beds where they evict. The tomatoes boom, boom, boom. The Canes go marching three by three. The little one stops to take a rest, and they all go marching down to the cars where they drive off with the keys. Boom, boom, boom. By Mike McGrath. Like many men, I garden because of women. When I was in college in Philadelphia back in 19-ish, gee, wonder what happened there. Well, it wasn't all that long ago, that is, dinosaurs no longer roamed the earth. The best possible day date was a trip to semi-nearby that is limited to women who had their own car, because I sure as Hades didn't, Longwood Gardens. Several trips to this horticultural showplace, an overused term but an understatement here. Love them man-eating-sized water lilies. Even led one college girlfriend to trust me with the delicate work of removing sod and turning soil that had last been trod upon by dinosaurs, all right, cave bears, but big ones. One of the two things that men are good for, performed entirely in the hope of being called upon for the first one you thought of. Of course, what with me being a male of the species, strike one. A college student, strike two. And in addition, the unique assemblage of personal DNA strands I happen to be, you're out of there. I was not to be trusted with such delicate nuclear physics level work as weed pulling, much less actual gasp planting. So, my only involvement in gardening back then was in Alabama chain gang, serving 5 to 10 at Woolworth's Fashion. Of course, now realize that such tedious, exhausting, and exquisitely painful physical labor accounts for approximately 97.8% of the actual time spent doing what we laughingly call gardening and wish that I had a personal troglodyte at hand to tote that barge and lift that rocks and get everything ready so that I could appear late in the day. Shove a few plants in the ground and then yell at the trog not to go near them. Anyway, soon afterwards, okay, about a decade later, what are you, a cop? I met my wife, who I not only took to Longwood. A, my repertoire was limited. B, it almost always worked. And C, I really like going there too, but who also came pre-wired with extremely fond memories of visits to her grandparents' farm, where she recalled eating raspberries without limit all summers long. They were then, are now, and apparently always will be, her favorite food. Well, a visit to the actual site, and to the memories of some then-adult relatives, revealed that the farm was actually a normal single home on a slightly larger-than-normal lot. That was, however, located in an area that was mostly rural, and even still slightly farmish then, and is, unfortunately, pretty much completely concrete asphalt and large, colorful plastic signs now. Everyone, however, agrees that the remembered raspberries were real, numerous, and delicious. So we were raspberry-bound. The only question was when, and the answer turned out to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 1985. We had bought our country home. I had carved a crude garden area out of the uncaring wilderness and was now busy trying to formulate a plan of attack against the cursed multiflora rose that surrounded said CGA, like New Jersey does Manhattan. It occurred to me, one of the few true 150-watt incandescents to ever appear above my personal sentience, that my only hope was to rip it all out, the multiflora, not the CGA or my personal sentience, and then quickly replace it with something even more weedy, tenacious, and invasive. So, I mail order some raspberries, which arrive sometime after their having joined the choir invisible, with a note explaining that your bare root plants may look dead, but, which should have said, your dead plants may just look bare root, but. 3 replacement shipments, and a full season. Later, I am once again noticing that my latest batch of dead, dried-up, stick-like things have not yet been visited by their only possible hope, a plant-resurrecting grandmother with wings from a Disney movie, when Bruce Huey, a neighbor whose presence has already ensured that my family has indoor water, wanders by to say, "Say, you wouldn't want any raspberry plants, would you?" Sue and I have to pull up a couple hundred young ones that are trying to move into the tool shed. Big Red Heritage, Super Sweet Yellow Fall Gold, which actually take on a beautiful white Zinfandel blushy pink color when ripe. Aha, raspberries at last. We get a few to nibble on that fall. Then more in the spring. Garden wisdom. Mow down all canes in the fall to protect against disease. McG version. Only remove old canes when they are so ancient they become fire hazards. Then, a pretty nice size crop that fall. Then, almost enough to satisfy us the following spring. Then enough. Then, really enough. And then, enough plus enough to put in a blender, whiz, whiz, and freeze up in pints for the winter when they would be mixed into the chocolate birthday cake's batter. Yes, and it tastes even better than it sounds. By the sixth or seventh year, we are awash, berry, berry happy. But by the end of year eight or so, we are behaving less like legendary genteel gardeners Ruth Stout or Scott Nearing, and more like Ah Nold, as we unwillingly star in our own little horticultural action adventure. Sweat-soaked, shirt-ripped, watching our automatic weapons fire bounce off the thorny little chests of the invulnerable canes as they advance like an invading army of rogue plants from the planet Krypton, rapidly saying hasta to our gardening Vista baby. Around year 10, heedless to the lessons of World War II, we try appeasement, abandoning the entire back row of raised beds, save for one small safe zone that the UN has established, and to which they regularly ship blankets and butter. We fill this isolated outpost thickly with transplanted volunteer garlic, our second most numerous edible weed with potatoes of uncertain parentage running a close third, do a stuntman's roll into the nearby gully, and leave the giant monsters, rampant canes and pungent bulbs, to fight it out. Godzilla versus King Kong, Mothra versus Bill Gates. The garlic line holds. America remains strong. We are now in our 12th or 13th year, approximately five seasons past the point where gardening book wisdom insists our ancient raspberry patch has died of disease, and have become Sigourney Weaver in a dark room in a damaged spacecraft with a broken flamethrower watching the alien-filled shadows for signs of movement, and seeing plenty of it. The crop this year is already. Late spring, as I tap these words into my keyboard with the tenderness of a professional boxer, huge, with the canes acting, I didn't think it possible, even more aggressive than in previous seasons. Luckily, the trenches are dug, the moat is filled, the gaiters are all loosed, and what's that? Huh? Sounds like something scratching at the door. Sorry, be right back. Hello? Who's there? Hey! What are those long, green, thorny, slithery things? Hey! Oof! Whack! Take that! Slash! Ouch! Scratch! Ouch again! Smack! Scratch! Hey! Why you whacka, whacka, whacka! Whoo! That was close. Good thing I had my machete handy. Like Carl Malden says, never leave the keyboard without it. And it's a really good thing raspberries taste so good. Hey! Stop pushing those tomato plants into the driveway. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Sorry, gotta go. See you next time. Hey, leave that car alone.